ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ಜಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವಚಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸತ ಶಿಷ್ಯ ಮದಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಇಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಸಂಸಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕೀ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ ಸಿಖ ಹೋಸಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಆದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಶ್ರೀ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ ಕೀ ಬ್ರಿಜಭೂಮಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ್ ನವದ್ವೀಪ ಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಗಂಗಾ ಮಯ್ಯಾ ಜಮುನಾ ಮಯ್ಯಾ ಕೀ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ತುಳಸಿ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಕೀ ಸಮವೇದ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ದ ಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ದ ಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ದ ಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಂಗ
ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯಾಂ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಾಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಾಂ ತಥೋ ಜಾಯಾ ಮುದೀರಹೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರಭಾವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಕೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕಿ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ.
Hare Krishna. So I think we are almost going to take 40 verses today and there is no purport, but believe me my dear friends, this is going to be a very very beautiful journey. This 40 verses are very special because practically you are going to be summarizing the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in this 40 verses. So I think I definitely want to read those verses. There is no purport, but let us read each verse, and as a wonderful person, a wonderful to really take this journey through the Bhagavatam and appreciate what all things that we all have gone through, all of us. In maybe we attended some classes, I'm sure none of us are here who can say I attended all the classes throughout the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. Not possible. But what was happening is Sutta Goswami is going to be summarizing. This chapter is entitled The Topics of Srimad Bhagavatam Summarized. And in this 40 verses, we are going to be covering a good portion of, practically the whole portion of the Bhagavatam. So we will begin. Text 7. Just to be a little quick, I will not read the Sanskrit. We will just take English and then read the Sanskrit of the last verse which is on the board. The Bhagavatam explains how one can attain liberation at the time of death by practicing fixed meditation in yoga. It also contains a discussion between Narada and Brahma, an enumeration of the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a description of how the universe was created in progressive sequence. beginning from the unmanifest state of material nature. Oh, so that was taken already. This scripture also relates the discussion Vidura had with Uddhav and Maitreya, inquiries about the subject matter of this Purana and the winding up of the creation within the body of the Supreme Lord at the time of annihilation. Text 9. The creation affected by the agitation of the modes of material nature, the seven stages of evaluation by elemental transformation and the construction of the universal egg, Brahmanda, we discussed, from which arises the universal form of the Supreme Lord. All these are thoroughly described. We all know which we are talking about the second canto. Other topics include the subtle and gross movements of time, the Kal, the second canto, the generation of the lotus from the navel of Garbhodaksha Vishnu and killing of the demon Hiranyaksha when the earth was delivered from the Garbhodak ocean. So this was the glorious appearance of Varahadev. The Bhagavatam also describes the creation of demigods, animals and demonic species of life, the birth of Lord Rudra and the appearance of Swayambhuva Manu from the half-man, half-woman Ishwara. Text 12. Also related to the appearance of the first woman Satarupa, who was excellent consort of Manu and the offspring of the pious wife of Prajapati Kardama. So this is the beautiful pastime that we went through of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. The Bhagavatam describes the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the exalted sage Kapila and records the conversation between the greatly learned soul and his mother Devahuti. This is beautiful discussion between Devahuti and Kapila Dev. Also described in the are the progeny of the nine great Brahmanas, the destruction of the Daksha sacrifice and the history of Dhruva Maharaj, followed by the histories of King Prithu and King Prachini Bahari, the discussion between Prachini Bahari and Narada, and the life of King Priyavrat. O Brahmanas, the Bhagavatam tells of the character and the activities of King Nabhi, Lord Rishabha, and King Bharat. I hope all of you are thinking in your minds, what are we going through? And as something like we are going in a car and we are sitting outside and we are appreciating the trees and the different scenery. So we are going on a journey right now and we are appreciating, oh, this is Priyavrat Maharaj, this is Varadev, this is Hiranyaksha. So I think let's go on a wonderful journey right now, not just read it for the sake of reading, but go on a beautiful journey. Text 16, the Bhagavatam gives an elaborate description of the earth's continents, regions, oceans, mountains and rivers. Also described are the arrangement of the celestial spheres and the conditions found in the subterranean region and the hell. Subterranean region explained further, if you remember the chapter. Beautiful description of the subterranean region, the lower planets and hellish planets. Text 17, the rebirth of Prajapati Daksha as the son of Prachetas and the progeny of Daksha's daughters, who initiated the races of demigods, demons, human beings, animals, serpents, birds, and so on. All this is described. Text 18. Oh, Brahmanas, also recounted are the births and the death of Ritrasura and Diti's son Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, as well as the history of the greatest of Diti's descendants, the exalted Maharaj Prahlad. Text 19. The reign of each Manu, the liberation of Gajendra, and the special incarnation of Lord Vishnu in each Manvantara, such as Lord Hayashirsha, are described as well. Text 20. The Bhagavatam also tells of the appearance of the Lord of the universe as Kurma, Matsya, Narsimha and Vamana, and the demigods churning the milk ocean to obtain nectar. On account of the great battle, this is text 21, fought between the demigods and demons, a systematic description of the dynasties of various kings and the narrations concerning Ishvaku's birth, his dynasty and the dynasty of the pious Sudhyamanu, all are presented within this literature. Text 22. Also related are the histories of Ila and Tara, and the description of the descendants of the sun god, including such kings as Sasada and Riga. The histories of Sukanya, Saryati, and the intelligent Kakustha, Katvanga, Mandhata, Shabari, and Sagar are narrated. Sagar Maharaj, the descendants, the descendant of Mother Ganga. We are there now. The Bhagavatam narrates the sanctifying pastime of Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kaushal, and also explains how King Nimi abandoned his material body, The appearance of the descendants of King Janak is also mentioned. Text 25 and 26. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Lord Parashuram, the greatest descendant of Bhrigu, annihilated all the Kshatriyas on the face of earth. It further recounts the life of glorious kings who appeared in the dynasty of the moon god, kings such as Aila, Yayati, Nahusha, Dushmanta, son Bharat, Shantanu, and Shantanu's son Bhishma. Also described is the great dynasty founded by King Yadu, the eldest son of Yayati. Text 27. How Shri Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead and Lord of universe, descended into this Yadu dynasty, how he took birth in the home of Vasudev, and how he then grew in Gokul. All this is described in detail. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. All also glorified are the innumerable persons of Krishna and the enemy of the demons, including his childhood pastimes of sucking out Putna's life air along with her breast milk, breaking the car, trampling down Trinavarta, killing Bakasura, Vritasura, Vatsasura, and Aghasura, and the pastime he enacted when Lord Brahma hid his calves and cowherd boys in a cave. Text 30. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells how Lord Krishna and Lord Balram killed the demon Dhenukasura and his companions, how Lord Balram destroyed Pralambasura, and also how Krishna saved the cowherd boys from the raging forest fire that had encircled him. Text 31 to 33. The chastisement of the serpent Kalia, the rescue of Nanda Maharaj from the great snake, the severe vows performed by the young gopis, who thus satisfied Lord Krishna, the mercy he showed to the wives of the Vedic Brahmanas, who felt remorse, the lifting of Govardhan Hill, followed by the worship and the bathing ceremony performed by Indra and Surabhi Kau, Lord Krishna's nocturnal pastimes with the cowherd girls, and the killing of the foolish demon Sankachuda, Arista and Keshi, all these pastimes are elaborately recounted. Text 34. The Bhagavatam describes the arrival of Akrura. This is the beginning of the leaving of Krishna from Vrindavan. The subsequent departure of Krishna and Balram, the lamentation of the gopis. This is the high point of the Bhagavatam. And the touring of Mathura. Also narrated are how Krishna and Balram killed the elephant Kuvalyapida, the restless Mushtika and Chanura, and Kamsa and other demons, as well as how Kamsa of Krishna brought back the dead son of his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Text 36. Then, O Brahmana, this scripture recounts how Lord Hari, while residing in Mathura in the company of Uddhav and Balram, performed pastimes for the satisfaction of the Yadu dynasty. Text 37. Also described are the annihilation of each of the many armies brought by Jarasandh, the killing of the barbarian King Kalia Yavan, and the establishment of the Dwarka city. Text 38. This work also describes how Lord Krishna brought from heaven the Parijaj tree and the Sudharma assembly hall, and how he kidnapped Rukmini by defeating all his rivals in battle. Text 39. Also narrated are how Lord Krishna in the battle with Banasura defeated Lord Shiva by making him yawn, how the Lord cut off Banasura's arms, and how he killed the master of Prajyotishapura and then rescued the young princesses held captive in that city. This is when Krishna married 16,000 wives. Text 40 and 41. There are description of the powers and the death of king of Chedi, Paundraka, Shalva and foolish Dantavakra, Sambara, Dvida, Pita, Mura, Panchajana and other demons, along with the description of how Varanasi was burned to the ground. The Bhagavatam also recounts how Lord Krishna revealed the earth's burden by engaging the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. Text 42 and 47, 42 to 43. How the Lord withdrew his own dynasty in the pretext of Brahmana's curse, Vasudev's conversation with Narada, the extraordinary conversation between Uddhav and Krishna, which reveals the signs of the self in detail, in complete detail, and elucidates the religious principles of the human society, and then how Lord Krishna gave up his mortal world by his own mystic power. The Bhagavatam narrates all these events. Text 44. This work also describes people's characteristics and behavior in the different ages, the chaos men experience in the age of Kali, and the four kinds of annihilation and the three kinds of creation. Text 45. There are also an account of the passing away of the wise and the saintly King Vishnuratha Parikshit, an explanation of how Srila Vyasadeva disseminated the branches of Vedas, a pious narration concerning Markandeya Rishi, and there's a description of the detailed arrangement of Lord's universal form and his form as the sun, the soul of the universe. Text 46. Thus, O best of the Brahmanas, I have explained herein what you have inquired from me. This literature has glorified in full detail the activities of Lord's pastime incarnations. Text 47. That's where we are now. Patita. Oh, 48th. Oh, sorry. The 48th verse. Oh, it was written here. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm extremely sorry. Okay. Eighth verse. Yeah, okay, great. Vidurodhva Samvadha Shatar Maitreyasyos Tata Purana Samhita Prashno Mahapurusha Samstiti Vidurodhava Samvada Shatar Maitreyas Shatra Maitra Yavoshtata Purana Samahita Prashno Mahapurusha Samstita Samstiti Viduroddhava Samvada Shatra Maitra Yavoshtata Purana Samhita Prashno Mahapurusha Samstiti Viduruddhava Samvada Shatar Maitreya Vastata Purana Samhita Prashno Mahapurusha Samstiti Ladies, Vidura Uddhava, between Vidura and Uddhava, Samvada, the discussion, Shatir Maitreyava, between Vidura and Maitreya, Tataha, then, Purana Samhita, concerning this Puranic compilation, Prashna, inquiries, Mahapurusha, within the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Samstitihi, the winding up of creation. We will read text 47. Text 47 translation. If when falling, slipping, feeling pain or sneezing, one involuntarily cries out in loud voice, obeisances to Lord Hari, one will automatically freed from all his sinful reactions. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Lord Sri Chaitanya is always loudly chanting the song Haraya Nama Krishna in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur, and that this same Lord Chaitanya will free us from our materialistic enjoying propensity if we also loudly chant the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Anusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Ramo Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. How was the journey? Wasn't it beautiful to just go through the whole journey? As Sutta Goswami takes us to this beautiful journey of the whole Bhagavatam. And it's a wonderful time, my dear friends, to we are following the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, right? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And the other nine processes of devotional service. So, what we are engaging in right now is the process of Shravanam. We are hearing the pastimes. But an integral part of Shravanam, the integral part of hearing, is a process of mananam. Manan karna, manan. To contemplate, to go on a journey. That's mananam. And till the time we are not engaged in the process of mananam, the process of shravanam may not be 100% complete. No doubt it will have effect. Because the process of Shravan is so powerful. Even if you are hearing it inattentively, if you are hearing it while dozing off, I'm not saying we should doze off. But that's so powerful because the karnendriya, the sense of the hearing is always alert. It's always there. So the process of hearing is so powerful. But as a student of Bhagavatam, as a student of Bhakti Yoga, a very important part of hearing process is mananam, to really introspect, to go deep and apply. We have in our various sciences, we have physics, so we hear physics. But as we go further, we have applied physics. Right? In higher studies of physics, applied physics. Then we have applied mechanics. So how that mechanics is applied in practical day-to-day life is what is discussed. Physics, we have so many physical laws, gravitation, 9.18. But what does it mean when that gravity is applied to, for example, installing a lift which actually works against gravity because it goes up? So that is applied mechanics. Am I right? So like that, there's everything that every science has applied aspect to it. How do we apply that science? So similarly, you know, just by hearing, this is a science. Bhagavatam is a science. It's a beautiful science. It is the original science. I mean, we cannot say it is also a science. By the way, it is the original science. From this, all other sciences come out. But an important part as a student of Bhagavatam is to have what you call applied Bhagavatam. How will I apply this knowledge of Bhagavatam in my own life? Or rather, how am I doing in my application in my own life? That mananam is a very important part. So, Sutta Goswami, why does he really spend so many verses again going through the whole thing? Why, what's the need? And I was analyzing that, why should somebody just repeat it? Already bola ek bar, once you have spoken, then why you want to repeat it again? I mean, that I did this. And of course, we see also that, you know, many times speakers, you know, I remember Braj Bihari Prabhu has this style, and I think Gaur Gopal Prabhu has this style, that they take us through the summary of the whole class. So that is very nice. Okay, this is the whole class, which of 2 hours, but in 5 minutes, you get the whole summary of it. Then you say, oh wow, this is very beautiful. Summary from the point of view of the speaker is very nice. Because as a speaker, what points that he feels important, he will put it in that. So what we are going through here is a whole summary. And as it is mentioned in the one of the verses, I don't know which one it was, before or after, I think the before verse, that, you know, obviously there are so many parts which are not mentioned by Sutta Goswami. It is in the before verses, right? The previous verse. It is not to say, it is explained, not to say that they are not important. Or not to say that he had some memory loss, that he forgot that this is also something which I spoke. No, it's not the memory loss, it's not that they are not important. But if you see a very interesting part, that he rushes through quite fast the first 9 cantos. When you see the 10th canto, practically every aspect of Krishna Lila is mentioned. Every aspect. Interesting. Very interesting. Right from a smallest demon, the fire demon, or the forest fire, mentioned. But, you know, he does not mention, for example, so many things. So obviously he was trying to just, himself relish what he had spoken. And of course, his greatest relish was speaking about Krishna Leela. So that is the sum and bonum of Bhagavatam. So, you know, as I was just trying to, I was wondering, what do I speak today? Because, you know, in one sense, there's a whole Bhagavatam to speak. You can pick up anything and speak, because it's 47 verses. I mean, you pick up a verse and you speak. And you are quite justified to speak that, because it was part of your verses. So, but of course, I'm not going to do that. You know, as Bhagavatam, I was just thinking that what all things we have gone through, let us appreciate what we have gone through for the few minutes. Now, what all things Bhagavatam has taught us. So, I would like to go through it in a form of various logies. So, begin with, to explain to you, we heard of cosmology. Right? Bhagavatam beautifully explains cosmology. Which canto? Any guess? Which canto? Cosmology? Huh? 5th canto. Please be ready to answer some questions. So, cosmology is 5th canto of Bhagavatam. Beautifully explained. And that's how the Vedic planetarium is trying to explain. I mean, people are wrecking their brains, but they have not come to this beautiful model of cosmology the way it is explained in Bhagavatam. Then, you know, there's also explained of, there's a whole explanation of criminology is a study of crimes. And we have so many crimes happened in Bhagavatam. One of some examples, some crimes that we talked. Hiranyaksha, Adavarma Sam, Shamatanga Jewel, crime, you know, just stole, right? So I'm sure many of you have replies. But criminology, then we talked about one integral part of Bhagavatam was genealogy. I mean, you see, such important aspect of Bhagavatam is genealogy, that in every portion there's all genealogical. There's what is genealogy? Is a study or investigation of ancestry and family history. Such an important part. So Bhagavatam taught us cosmology. Bhagavatam taught us, criminology, genealogy. It talked about archaeology. Any examples of archaeology in Bhagavatam? Archaeology. So it's a homework for you. Then we talk about, meteorology, about this earth science dealing with phenomenon of atmosphere. And that is when we talk about the subterranean region. I was reading that how this whole aspect of meteorology is very beautifully explained. Then we studied about psychology. I mean, this Bhagavatam is nothing but a whole science of psychology. What happens when you get puffed up? How does the psychology work? What do you do? I mean, any student of psychology, when he reads the Bhagavatam, he will find an ocean of knowledge of psychology in that. Then, we have astrology. With the whole science of astrology, the powerful science of astrology is mentioned. I mean, I will not ask, but everywhere it is mentioned. Every aspect of astrology. And of course, the list goes on. But time is also going on. I have a list of 27 lodges that Bhagavatam mentions. I'll share with you all. But what we are trying to say is that Bhagavatam has addressed us in varieties of topics. The whole idea of these lodges was that so vast is the Bhagavatam and so beautiful is the journey. It has taken us through all this beautiful cosmology. I mean, it explained us the whole way the whole fetus developed so beautifully, which was explained, I mean, with Bhagavatam, which now the people are realizing how intricately is explained, how from a small one cell the whole being is created. And that became, in modern science, gynecology. But it's there in the Bhagavatam. Cosmology, meteorology, anthropology. So all these beautiful science that we are talking about is all there. And as students of Bhagavatam, we have gone through it. But very interesting. This verse, suddenly after expressing of all these aspects of Bhagavatam, different pastimes, straight, Sutta Goswami says, he says in this verse that we talked about, 47. He said that if when falling, slipping, feeling pain or sneezing, one involuntarily cries out the loud voice, obeisances to Lord Hari, that is Haraya Nama Krishna, one will automatically free from all sinful reactions. So, is it so easy? What is the real meaning? What is it trying to say? Get just, when you sneeze, Krishna, am I free from all sinful reactions? Is that what Bhagavatam is after teaching all these intricate signs? Is this telling us to sneeze and by sneezing say Hare Krishna? Or by sleeping you say Krishna, Krishna? My dear friends, it has to be much, much more deeper, my dear friend. It cannot be just the way it looks like. And that is why we need to go deep. And that is why I compare this whole study of Bhagavatam either to a journey in a beautiful forest where we are going deep and deep and deep into the forest and we find some rare, beautiful minerals and rare things that are there in the forest. Or more appropriately, diving into the deep ocean. And the more deep you go, the more interested you are to really find the deep riches in the ocean, then you'll find the rich pearls and the richness which is there in the deep oceans, the ocean bed as we talk about. So Bhagavatam is a scripture where we go deep and we deep dive into this scripture. So when we're talking about this, and there's a beautiful purport written by Hridayananda Das Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada's disciple and his other disciples, that just by chanting Haraya Nama Krishna involuntarily, Without really like, knowing, you know, when you sniff, shh, Krishna, you just say something. You will be sinful, full of sinful reactions. It can be so easy. So what is this chanting loudly really mean? Because the process that is explained here is to chant loudly. You know, I was just like to share, one of the devotees, he was going through a very desperate situation. He had sort of displeased his spiritual master or by one of his activities. And his spiritual master had, after a few days, was doing kirtan. And because he was feeling so terrible, so he was feeling that what is the use of this life in one sense, you know, because I've displeased my spiritual master. So there was this Sunday kirtan going on. And you can have a Sunday kirtan, there will be hundreds of devotees in the hall. And this particular devotee was standing in front of his spiritual master. And everybody was chanting, and this devotee was chanting. But you know, because there was no, when you talk about loudness, it can be talked in terms of decibels, right? Decibels. So he's not that his voice was that loud. This is a story which I heard, so I found it very interesting. So then his guru did this one kirtan, one mantra, and he stopped. The kirtan was going to stop. And he said that all the voice of everybody put together is not equal to the voice of this person who was desperately chanting the names of the Lord. His guru spoke that then all the people, all of you are chanting, all the voice put together is not equal to this. Now, so when you talk about loudness, obviously the decibel aspect was much higher than this one person. But what I could understand from this statement is, when we talk about chant loudly, and we have so many times we say, chant loudly, jor se boliye, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chant loudly. What does it really mean to chant loudly? It means to chant intensely, something that coming from deep, from the core of your heart. And that will happen. Many ways it can happen when it comes from the core of your heart. But I would like to discuss two aspects only. One positive and one, I won't say negative, but you can say negative. Positive and negative aspect. How to chant desperately. How to actually chant loudly. So the one aspect of chanting loudly, as we mentioned in the story, is to feel the desperate need to cry out to the Lord because of our precarious situation. And not only in the COVID time that we are in the precarious situation, but we have always been in a precarious situation, but now we are very much aware about our precarious situation. Yes or no? We all are very, very much aware. Padam padam vyadhi padam datesham is a very, very favorite verse of everybody right now. Because we are all realizing what it means to be having danger at every step. So when we are cognizant, I use the word cognizant, that means aware, cognizant, to make cognizance or to be cognizant about a particular scenario makes us aware about doing that activity. For example, if you are aware that you are meeting a great person, you will be very, very careful of what you speak, when to speak, how to walk, how to talk. Because you are aware, you are cognizant about that person's greatness. Am I right? If you are meeting the prime minister of the country, you will not be just, you know, you will be, because you are cognizant whom you are meeting. But a crazy person, if he comes in front of the prime minister, he will not be, hello sir, kaise ho? Because he is not cognizant. he doesn't know. So when you are cognizant about the fact of what situation we are in, you can cry out to the Lord very nicely. So we know it, but we are very aware of it, then we can cry out. So when this verse thing to cry out is, one is to be aware about our precarious situation and to cry out to the Lord. Naturally it will come. So that is one thing, is what we should be aware of, the negative aspects of our life. The negative aspect means, or the difficult aspect of our life, which is the precarious, vulnerable situation that we are all in. And the other more deeper aspect, I was thinking that this crying out to the Lord is something which the Lord gives it to us. You cannot really have it. The Lord has to give it to us. That because it is such a special thing to cry out to the Lord. The Lord has to be happy and He has to give us that capacity to cry from the core of your heart. The Lord has to be pleased with you. Because I am the ability in man. Krishna says, of all the I am the ability in man. So if you need the ability to cry to the Lord, that ability has to be given by Krishna, because that is the ability to cry out. To cry is the ability. And that ability has to be given by Krishna. When will you get that ability? When will Krishna be giving you that ability? You might find this not so connected, but just think over it and you will find the connection. That one of the most important and a valuable gift of Krishna that we need to be again cognizant about and aware about is the gift of the friendship that Krishna has given us with devotees of the Lord. When we value the friendship of the devotees of the Lord, when you value how special are the devotees of the Lord, what a special benediction is it that we have got the association of the devotees of the Lord. If it was not for the devotees of the Lord, what would be my spiritual life? To value it, and based on that value, to behave rightly with the devotees of the Lord. Just think over it, my dear friends. The greatest gift that we all have. This is the famous statement of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj in the last few days of his life. This is a man who was deeply realized. He was the author of various countless books. And in his epitome of his realization, an epitome of his phenomenal service to the world that he did, voluminous service. What does he say? He says that after all we have is each other. After all. That means after all means, from his point of view, after all the life that he has lived, this is his realization. All we have is each other. He didn't say after all we have is by hearting the 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam. After all, that's... So no scholarship. After all I have is all the volumes of books that I've written. Nothing like that. So no jnan, no vigyan, no scholarship, no disciples, nothing. Na janam, na janam, na sundarim. All this is useless, out. But what he really valued is we have each other. The friendship with the devotees of the Lord. The loving relationships that we have with the devotees of the Lord. These are the greatest gifts of the Lord. And to the extent we value it, and to the extent based on the value that we have, we appropriately behave with these devotees and not take them for granted and not abuse them. To that extent, Krishna is going to reciprocate with you and you are going to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord with deep from your heart. It is not just a decibel. It's not that nothing to do with your voice box here. The Bhagavad is not talking about the voice box. It's talking about your depth of your core of your heart, which is a gift from Krishna if you value the friendship that He has given you in your life. And to the extent you value it and to the extent you don't value it and you abuse it, my dear friends, you are in a big, big soup spiritually. Because the greatest gift of the Lord, if you misuse it, you are in a soup. And how will you misuse it? By taking it for granted. By manipulating people. And let's ask ourselves, are we not taking the devotees for granted? Are we not many a times manipulating with devotees to achieve what we want to achieve? Because after all, most of our interactions, the way we are in ISKCON, is with devotees now. Of course, we have our business for grihasthas, we have our social life, and we interact with people outside. But after all, everybody is a devotee. In one sense, whether you are a they are showing the sense of devotee or not, but on the literal sense, the devotees of the Lord. So I was hearing this this particular talk by Niranjan Maharaj, actually reading one of his, and he said the greatest gift that we should value is the friendship that Krishna has given us. And then I was thinking about it, and I could find a connection that this depth of coming from the heart, it comes when you value the association of devotees. Because, and I'll talk about this beautiful pastime, where this beautiful song was sung. Hariharaya namo Krishna Yadavaya namaha Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when this mridanga was broken by the devotee, by the followers of Chand Kazi, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry. I'm just going to run through the story. Very, very angry. And he said, all devotees should burn, should be ready with torch lights and come together and loudly chant the holy names of the Lord and loudly chant Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Same. And Narottam Das Thakur has written a beautiful bhajan of 10 verses. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Guru Vaishnam, the whole song, bhajan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said all the devotees should come together and chant loudly. Again, the word loudly is there. Loudly chant the holy names. Now, why is it? And please understand, this Chand Kazi, the way we can, you know, many times we have, that's only the best way we can portray in our dramas, is a person who wears a, it looks like a Chand Kazi, and then he's trying to be as atrocious. But this person might be really, really a demoniac person, because people were scared of him. He was, you know, the devotees said, they were shivering. When the people were there, they were shivering. So the whole environment was, it was like a curfew. He said, no dancing and no chanting. Nobody comes out. Like curfew, it was like serious stuff. He must be a tyrant, practically like a demon, without horns and teeth, but a demon. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all of us will go on a Harinam procession. And there were millions of devotees. How is it that they could really, sometimes we show him in a very funny way, you know, Chankar says, hey, what's happening outside? And we show him in a very funny way, that he was scared. Okay, so it's nice to really, but actually he must not be such. He was a powerful, huge, powerful Chand Kazi. He had power. He would not be just scared of somebody chanting. But because the devotees had such camaraderie with each other, I use the word again, camaraderie, friendship with each other, and under the supervision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were chanting intensely from their heart. And of course, from the heart and even from decibel point of view, it was a loud chanting. That shook the Chand Kazi from his roots. My dear friend, a person who is an antagonistic person for 40, 50 years of his life. I mean, just analyze this pastime. It is not easy for him to be changing and be fearful in a matter of, you know, a few hours. It has, something has to be very intense for his heart to change. Or forget, before his heart changed, for him to feel scared. It has to be something very intense. And I'm sure it was not just the number of people also. But the intensity was so loud that the devotees were invoking the Lord's presence. So when that chanting was there, the Lord's power, and Lord is all powerful, that power was what was changing the heart of Chand Kazi. It's not just the loudness or the materialness of the Leela. You understand? It's not just the numbers. It was not like a julus. Hamari mange puri karo, and then we have thousands of people. Like yesterday, there was a whole crowd which jumped into a building, the famous building in America. It was not like one of those punky people, crazy people doing things. This was a crowd which was I'm sure those who want to know, you can see what happened. I don't want to explain what happened yesterday. It's the most crazy thing that happened in the world ever. So anyway, this chant causes pastime. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now all of us will chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then he also, while the devotees were chanting very enthusiastically, suddenly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started dancing and he started singing, Hari Haraya Namok, and the Mrudang was playing and it was a beautiful, tumultuous kirtan. This is exactly what is mentioned here. Haraya Nama Iti Uchyara. When one automatically loudly chants obeisances to Lord Hari, then what happens? He freed from all sinful reactions and it comes from the core of your heart. So this was one pastime which shows, and let us all understand that it was not just done in a very superficial way. And another pastime, I would like to end with that pastime of again, this pastime was something which awakened a sinful person from the ignorance and brought him to light. And of course, Chankazi became a great devotee, and then we have the proof of the tree of the Chankazi there. So you can imagine what a transformation took place. Another time where this beautiful song Haraya Nama Krishna was chanted for a different situation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. It was the night of Sharad Purnima. He was in Jagannath Puri. And he runs and he sees the ocean and feels that the ocean is Jamuna. He jumps into the ocean late in the night. Devotees are searching. Where is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where is he gone? Kothai Mahaprabhu, where is he gone? And they search in the Narendra Sarovar, they search to Chataka Parvat, they go to the Gundicha, various places, but they didn't find Lord Chaitanya and they say, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left. Is it that he has gone? They were so sad. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had jumped in the ocean. And the beautiful pastime that there's a fisherman who was on night duty. He used to like to do night duty. He was in the sort of a call center fisherman. A night duty wala fisherman, call center. So he would do night duty, and because it is, I mean, nights are quite peaceful sometimes, so he wanted to do peacefully. So he would take his boat, and in the night when everything was dark, he would just put the net and then catch fishes. And then suddenly, you know, he found something very heavy. I said, wow, what a great benediction, something very heavy. And he took it out. It was not the net. It was something heavy. And then he touched it. And he realized that there's a ghost. And he started becoming crazy. So something happened to him. And his wife had told him that, you know, when you are in the night, you're doing things, please chant Narsingha prayers. Every wife tells this to the husband. Because the wife is always there to protect, right? So this time Narsingha prayers. So he chanted, Namaste Narsimhaya Pralada. And this, he became more crazy. I said, what sort of ghost is this, yaar? Kaisa ghost hai? He became more and more crazy, so he couldn't understand what was happening to him. He somehow got this whole net and put it on the shore, and he was just jumping and running here and there, and these devotees were searching. Sarva Damodar Goswami and the search party were searching, and he saw this crazy person jumping on the sand. Very unique sight. It was still early morning. Nobody was around, and this man was jumping. I said, what's wrong? Something unique. So they went to him. I said, what happened? And he explained. I'm just fast forwarding it. And then he said that, I don't know what's happening. I need an exorcist. So Damodar said, I'm an exorcist. Boom! He slapped him on his face and became silent. And then he said, my dear friend, you are the most fortunate. You are the most fortunate. You have actually not a ghost. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead that you have touched. And this is the Lord. And when he removed it from the net, the Lord was looking very, very strange. Between each of his joints, there were gaps. Just imagine if each joint has gaps in between. That was his ecstasy. The Lord was completely in deep samadhi or deep consciousness, very deep. Externally, he was completely unconscious. So Chand Kazi was deep in ignorance, and they chanted Hari Haraya Nama Krishna. And then the Lord Chaitanya was not coming to external consciousness. He was deep because he was actually meditating on Vrindavan. And he was plucking and we have the famous picture, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing how the gopis are plucking flowers. He was in that Vrindavan scene. And the devotee of the Lord said, the only way we can revive the Lord is by loudly chanting. Loudly means from the heart and from your voices. And they started chanting, Hare Krishna, and Chaitanya explains it, chanting Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama, and that loudly chanting. And the Lord came to action of the consciousness. And he said, why have you got me here? Where am I? I was so happy. I was just with the gopis plucking flowers for Krishna and doing wonderful service for Krishna. And the Lord and the devotee said, well, this is what happened. So my dear friends, I just felt that these two stories beautifully explained where this beautiful song was sung. One was to revive a person from his deep ignorance, and one was to revive the Lord, Supreme Personality of God, Lord Chaitanya, from his deep introspective, deep inner consciousness. But sufficient to say that all this intense chanting of the Lord, the loud chanting that can free us from all sinful reaction, as explained, will only happen when we have the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord will come when we feel ourselves to be always dependent on the Lord and crying out to the Lord. And more, and another important aspect is to value the friendship in Krishna consciousness. To value each and every devotee. To value the friendship that God has gifted us. If it was not for the friendship in Krishna consciousness, what would have happened of our lives? And knowing the value, to not misbehave, ill-treat the devotees, consciously or unconsciously. And if we do that, the way the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were always doing, they always valued. When we do that, when we chant Hare Krishna, it will come from the core of your hearts. And it will really purify all of us. And one fine day, we will find ourselves completely pure of all the sinful reactions that we have accumulated since time immemorial. And as explained by Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki, that pure devotional service will be established in our heart as an irrevocable fact. That's what we want. We want to establish an irrevocable fact. Irrevocable fact means stamped, irrevocable. You cannot revoke it. Right now we can revoke it. Thoda, it is not yet a situation irrevocable. We can still, because our faith is only Shraddha. It is not yet gone to Nishtha. Firm faith nahi hai. Not yet. So irrevocable will happen only when we can able to change. So I pray to Krishna, I pray to our spiritual masters that we all can really understand this beautiful message from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can all loudly and actually loudly chant the holy names of the Lord, and most important, value the wonderful gift that Krishna and the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada has given us in the form of the Vaishnava Sangha, the friendship of the Vaishnavas. Because after all we have is each other. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.